everyone's got those songs that make them go, "Oh man, I felt that." Songs that resonate with their own individual circumstances and bring them together with others through shared connection. But the same song is guaranteed to speak to different people in vastly different ways. So join Jordan and I, once childhood neighbors in Marathon City, Wisconsin, as we talk through the songs that have struck a chord with us. We'll discuss the similar messages we've heard upon our listens, the lessons we've learned through our own interpretations, and the deeper topics we're navigating as our unique journeys continue beyond our hometown. Welcome to Marathon Mixtapes. Jordan, what song are we talking about this week?
Well, for this week, it's my second song of Volume 1. I'm actually a little bit more excited to talk about this song than Episode 1, because we've moved beyond the pilot. But the song this week is Home by Michael Bublé. Before we get into the song, though, I was going to ask you, are you a Michael Bublé fan?
Well, I want to get something else out of the way. Michael Bublé.
Bubbly? Michael Bubbly?
He's got a funny last name. Let's just get that out of the way first. But it's interesting. Michael Bublé, I think, kind of inhabits a unique space within popular music. Even still today, you know, you'll catch him around the holidays, or you'll hear him on the radio in some department store or something. And he's...
big Christmas guy.
Oh, yeah. And I love that. Don't get me wrong. But that's like the time for this sort of crooner style music, right? And I'm glad artists like him still exist, even though I don't listen to him on the regular. I really connected with this song, and I understand why his performances still kind of stand the test of time since he got popular in the early 2000s, I would really say. So do I consider myself a fan? Casually. Do I go out of my way to listen to him? No, but do I find a lot of comfort in the sort of solo vocal performance, like I said, the kind of the crooner style, harkening back to the eras of these gentlemen singing in smoky clubs and things like that. So this song definitely embodies that, and I at the very least appreciate it for that. But we'll get into more about how the lyrics are pretty transcendental too. So do you consider yourself a Michael Bublé fan?
I think I'm about in the same boat as you are. I wouldn't consider myself a strong Michael Bublé fan. I haven't gone deep into his discography per se, other than like my normal, like, oh, if I hear a good song that I like, I'll do a quick deep dive on like a lot of his stuff. But like, there's a lot of Michael Bublé songs that I've listened to in the past that I do enjoy. And what's interesting is, like, even though I'm not a huge fan, I do like his music on a casual level, like kind of similar to you. But I just realized, like, growing up in most of my like social circles, I feel like 90 to 95% of the people I know don't really like Michael Bublé at all. Which has been surprising, because like, he's a very internationally popular singer. And yet, I guess I just am in circles that I just don't see that. But I agree also with your kind of classification, where he does feel like a very like modern Sinatra type singer with those like crooning notes and stuff. But also, funnily enough, my introduction to Michael Bublé was not through any Michael Bublé song technically, but it was through a bad lip reading interpretation of his song Haven't Met You Yet, called Russian Unicorn. Are you familiar with Russian Unicorn?
No, but is this the old bad lip reading YouTube channel that did this sort of thing? Oh
yeah.
My gosh, that's a blast of the past.
Yeah, I remember that Russian Unicorn, not Michael Bublé, but they took Michael Bublé's song Haven't Met You Yet, which is, Haven't Met You Yet, is also a banger of a song. Like, it's another Michael Bublé song that is just really good. But the bad lip reading did a cover of it, sounds nothing like the original, but got super popular. I remember back when I was in college, might have been my freshman year, and that was my introduction to Michael Bublé.
So you sort of retroactively learned about... So what was the next step for you after Russian unicorn for your relationship with Michael Bublé.
Well, I think it was just like, oh, like this is a wild song. What does the actual song sound like? And then, unsurprisingly, it's very different, but also kind of a banger in its own right. And then I don't think it was until like maybe like months or even like years later that I heard Home. I think I would just listen to Haven't Met You Yet like over and over a lot because I like that song. And then I didn't really start exploring his other songs until quite an amount of time afterwards. And then I think stumbled upon Home among other songs and kind of just kept continually being surprised by the types of songs that he sings. And also, like, well, I guess because it was just a lot of Christmas songs, right? Like, Michael Bublé has a lot of Christmas albums. Like, that's the type of songs that, like, I would say people know him for, in addition to his, like, normal stuff.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's I think how to a good chunk of people, perhaps I'm making an assumption here, but that he's kind of like a Pentatonix or a Bing Crosby kind of they listen to him every year, but in a very specific context and very specific scenarios. So it's interesting seeing him or hearing him outside of those contexts kind of feels like seeing an old high school teacher at the supermarket a little bit, but I think,
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
but that's also kind of the charm of it too. You realize it's like, oh wait, that teacher's actually kind of cool. I didn't know he liked that kind of band. He's wearing this kind of t-shirt. And then when you hear
He
songs,
sings jazz.
he plays jazz flute. I like that about Michael Bublé too, where it's like he can show up to the party with songs like Home, and you're like, okay, this guy's got chops. It's not he's not just a novelty, right?
Yeah, he's not a novelty. And I always see him like do duets and stuff with like all types of singers. And speaking of like this song Home, if you like I think if you just like Google Home on like or not Google but like on YouTube, if you look up Michael Bublé Home, one of like the top results is a duet of that song of him and Blake Shelton. And I'm not the biggest country fan. So it was surprising to see, like how great chemistry those two have singing that song together and then listening to a very southern twangy rendition of Home.
That speaks to the power of this kind of genre specifically. And I think what endeared me to the song immediately upon hearing it, I don't want to say I hadn't heard this song before you showed it to me, but I didn't listen to it before you showed it to me. That's the pedantic way of saying, like, really intentionally digging into this song. But like I said, it's Michael Bublé and his music. It's like, I guarantee you I've heard this the walking around a quiet mall or something. But to sit down with the song, and because it's got this very universal kind of American jazz influence sound to it, and it harkens back to the Rat Pack style of performance, I think that makes it very accessible to everybody. And it feels Michael Bublé songs are always songs that you can take home to mom, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, yeah, because I don't know what the right word is. Not benign, but just like, there's nothing pretentious or edgy about it. They're smooth jazz, Like I said, like the modern Sinatra type stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely like stuff your parents would like.
And it makes it.
And it's Canadian.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that also makes it much more approachable. Yeah, just a nice guy. He just seems like a good
He's a
boy.
nice guy. He's just a nice Canadian.
That genre has just influenced so many different corners of American music, too. Obviously, country music artists will have that charm, that openness, that warmth to it that a lot of those artists like Michael Bublé continue to show off. And even like his style of vocal performance has influenced like m metal artists, not necessarily Michael Bublé specifically, but Mark Tremonti. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him at all, but he was the guitarist from Creed. He went on to join Alter Bridge, form Alter Bridge with some friends, a lot of the guys from Creed, except for the new singer. And then he went on to perform a lot of solo work. His vocal style is very strongly influenced by this genre. He's cited Sinatra specifically as an influence, and even did a Sinatra covers album. And so to say that, like it to say that Michael Bublé and his style of music is like approachable kind of undersells it, right? It pervades, it transcends a lot of genres for people, and that style of music just has influence everywhere. So yeah, I wasn't aware of that duet with Blake Shelton, but in a way it doesn't surprise me because everybody can listen to this kind of music and latch onto some element of it. Think about warm times around the campfire or around the fireplace with your family, or you can think about, if you are of an older generation, you can think about being in some of these clubs when a lot of these performers were trying to make it big, or even just like throwing on a record with a friend. Everybody's got a record that sounds like Michael Bublé adjacent in their collection somewhere. And if you don't, you can go to any Goodwill and pick one up, right? It's music that's really part of the fabric of American music culture, I would say.
Yeah, I can see that. And like
North
it's
American, I guess I should say, since our friend
sure.
Michael Bublé is indeed Canadian.
Yeah. And it's also like for the most part a lot of songs very optimistic. Which is also like a nice touch, 'cause like I think sometimes comparing it to country music, like American country music, sometimes like the themes can get a little heavy and dark while having kind of similar tonality. And Michael Bublé's music being kind of more optimistic and happier and more like upbeat, I think helps with its appeal as well. Again, like you can just kind of put this on in the background in almost any situation and any context. And so you see, like you said, you hear it a lot at like shopping malls and stuff, like in the background, because it's so like inoffensive.
I think that's a strength, though. I think a lot of people might hear that and say, okay, so it has nothing unique to offer me. Why are we talking about it here? I think Home specifically has a real cinematic quality to it that I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
It really places you in the scene. I think once you hear that first stanza, and you, first of all, like it's very lyrically efficient. You get the entire
Yes.
conflict of this character in just a few lines. And then the rest of the chorus and other verses go on to explain more, go into greater detail. But the fact that you get the whole story in that first stanza, I think is a real credit to it, and it really combines with the soft piano, the sort of meandering feel, very flowy. You understand that, okay, this is a character who's, you imagine them sitting at a bar waiting for a red-eye flight, and then you immediately think about your own experiences in those. Hey, I'm going to use the word liminal. I know that's thrown around a lot in today's online culture, but I really think that this song does a good job of capturing the feeling of being in those airports, at those bus stops, in a hotel bar. Like I immediately thought of the times when I've had the fortunate opportunity to travel a fair bit for work over the past year, and I thought about sitting in those weird plastic benches and people watching. I thought about
Oh, that's a good people watching this. I think this is a good people watching song.
exactly it, because it because the sound is so universal, and because these lyrics are placing you in those scenes immediately, it almost instills this immediate sense of empathy too, where you're thinking about, oh, everybody's going somewhere, and a lot of them are going home. So you think about what they might be feeling, and when you're in spaces that aren't so immediately travel oriented, feel a little bit more stuck. Like I the songs really placed me. The song has really placed me in this one specific hotel in Cleveland where I stayed last year. It's the Arcade. I went to the hotel bar and just had like a nip of rye, and it was like I kind of wanted to immediately, you understand why I use the term cinematic here, because I kind of wanted to be like, well, I'm traveling by myself, my coworkers have gone to bed, and I'm just going to kind of play into the stereotype and be the lonely guy at the hotel bar and see what that feels like. And this song reminds me of that moment. I was just sitting in this beautiful building. Anybody ever going to visit Cleveland, you got to stop by the Arcade. It's an incredible building. A lot of the storefronts that face inward on this atrium space and has a beautiful skylight and everything. A lot of the storefronts are original. Some of them have been converted into hotel rooms. It's a really, really unique space, and the hotel bar sits just off of it, so you get to enjoy that. And it was this very surreal, like, oh, I'm enjoying being in between right now. This song plays with that emotion where this character is grateful for having the opportunities to travel that they do, but they feel drawn somewhere else, and they realize that where they are now isn't their final destination. There's a place to go, and that's home, and it's because of the people that he adores. So I love how this song immediately put me in a time and place and made me think about these specific experiences.
Just to back up for, I guess, our listeners, like the song Home by Michael Bublé is really a song about the singer wanting to go home. And I'm just reading quick reading this on like the Wikipedia article, but Michael Bublé wrote this song when he was touring in Italy, and he wrote it for his then fiance, which makes sense since a lot of the lyrics are kind of just about exploring the world but still like wanting to go back to his lover and doing it through these lyrics and through postcards. And that's another like thing that I like about this song is you had mentioned that it does a great job of just immediately setting out like what the song is about within like the first four lines. So the lyrics are like, another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. So you know exactly like what the song is about, and melodically it's very slow and meandering, because as the song continues, it's just kind of him expounding on this main idea, and it really feels like he's writing a postcard, and the lyrics are just him like thinking out what to write in this postcard to send his fiance of just, wanting to go home. It's just him, like it just repeats this thought process of like, oh, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going home. Like I said, like it just keeps expounding on the fact that he is away from who he wants to be, even though he's in these really great places. And every like verse and stanza feels like another chapter of this postcard where it's like, oh, today I'm in Italy, today I'm in France. Today I, like went and did a concert at this big, amphitheater, but it still feels a little empty because it'd be great if either you were here with me or if I were with you. Another set of lyrics that kind of like point this out, I think, is just the fact that he says, like, I'm just too far from where you are. I want to come home.
I think what subverts this song a little bit as well is the fact that you're absolutely right. It has that postcard feel, it has that letter feel. This person's trying to communicate their feelings back to their loved one back home, a partner in this case. And there's a whole verse where it's like, I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one a line or two, and they feel dissatisfied with the way that they're trying to communicate to their partner that they miss them, or they feel a little bit ungrateful that they're in these cool spaces and they have these great opportunities and they're fulfilling a dream, but they feel connected to this person and they could kind of go without all of the travel, all of the dream fulfillment if they can get back to that person, or they realize that that person is, oh, this is the constant. Like this, all of this other stuff is just trappings. Like this is going to fall away and I'll still have home. I think that's a really powerful idea. It very, very much suits this genre, this sentimentality that often comes with the crooner style jazz. But it changes things up a little bit too, because it feels like a letter, but it's also discrediting its own, like the own medium that it's kind of lampooning. It's interesting. I appreciate that there's that level of dissonance there.
And I mean, like, he even mentions it in the song. There's some lyrics about like why the person he's writing this letter to couldn't come along with him without actually like saying what those lyrics are right now, just because I kind of like want to go through this song like verse by verse, just because of how maybe not universal like this that the song could feel like in terms of just like the impact that it has on the listener. But also, like, the reason why I picked this song was because, like, out of all the songs that I've picked for like us to talk about, I think this is the one that I've been the most excited about. Even though it's the number two position, it wasn't like a good intro song, but like this song has so many like strong moments that I think is worth kind of going in order through the song, just so like we don't get, or at least I don't get too unfocused.
Sure, I appreciate that.
Like you had mentioned before, kind of an overarching theme of the song is just how Michael Bublé is this famous singer and gets to do all these cool things, but somewhere kind of like deep inside, he's feels like this emptiness that's just not filled by all these great things. And so, like we had mentioned, the first verse is another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome, but I want to go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, but I still feel alone. I just want to go home. Oh, I miss you, when you brought up the fact that like this song kind of reminds you of when you were on a work trip in Cleveland, I too have been very blessed and fortunate to have a job that has allowed me to travel to a lot of different places, some of them cooler than others, but it's travel that I don't have to pay for. I'm fortunate enough, that my company will send me out to certain places and I get to go to new places that I might have wanted to go myself, but didn't know if I would want to spend the money, and now I don't have to. I can go and travel. And at the same time of there being a lot of cool stuff that you can do, I do find myself when I have conversations with friends and family about how whenever I sometimes put forth that it's more tiring than people think, or that even though like I get to go to Boston for a week, I don't actually get like a week of vacation.
I appreciate you saying that because travel is like inherently disruptive to sort of like your daily routines and the rhythms of life, which can be good sometimes. And I'm glad that this song doesn't inherently glamorize that. Even within these first few lines, the bar is set pretty high. This guy's in Paris and Rome, like the kind of bucket list destinations for
He's
people.
singing for millions of people.
Absolutely. Like he's living the dream of so many
He
people.
really is.
So it does a good job of immediately kind of peeling back the veneer that travel is this panacea of life experiences, or just like, oh, just get out in the world, do a walkabout or what have you, or spend a decade abroad or whatever. That's a long time, but people talk about that as a way to quote unquote find yourself, to use the lingo that I've heard sometimes.
Oh, sure.
And I think sometimes we don't realize the amount of work that goes into it. We don't realize the amount of energy that goes into it. Like you said, sometimes even though we call it a vacation, especially if it's a work trip, it's not really a vacation.
And even like Michael Bublé is a musician. He's traveling for work. He's singing, he's doing concerts, he's working. And sometimes what I think some people might not understand sometimes is that on like a work trip, I'll still be working during the day, and then afterwards, like when the workday's over, I'm in this place that's cool, that's not home, and I have the opportunity to do stuff. Sometimes I'm just so, just tired and exhausted that like I just want to go back to my hotel room and do nothing. And then people more not often, but it has come up occasionally where people say, "Well, don't you feel like you're squandering like an opportunity? Like you're wasting the time since you're already there?" Like part of me is like a little bit, but at the same time though, like I said, like I've been working and this isn't a vacation. And I am kind of tired and I kind of just want to do nothing. And I think another thing that some people might not realize sometimes is that when you're at home, you go to work, you come home, that's a very familiar place. And when you're on a work trip and you go back to the hotel, that is not necessarily a familiar place. It's probably not familiar at all. And so it's not actually as rejuvenating sometimes. I kind of feel that too, where like, if you're at a nice hotel room, like the beds are super nice, the pillows are super soft, it's super comfortable, but it doesn't like feed the soul, I guess, as like your own bed at home does in the same kind of way, you know?
I think that's a great observation because I do find myself enjoying hotels, but for an entirely, it sounds so silly what I that I'm clarifying it out loud now, but it's like I enjoy hotels for a vastly different reason than I do my own home. And they offer comfort in very different ways, but I do find myself like restless at when I am traveling and I have to like explore the space. I love wandering around hotels kind of like later at night and seeing like, okay, how does this neighborhood kind of stir at night? Or does it go completely quiet? Is like, are there people down at the hotel bar? Is there a restaurant that's staying open late and offering something? Are there people in the business center? It's like, what's the pulse of this place? I like that investigative quality of being in a hotel or a resort of some sort, but when I'm home, I don't obviously don't need to think about that sort of thing. It's like I know every inch of this space, and I've crafted it to me, and in my case, my wife and my dog and my cat. It's like I can come here and turn my brain off, and when I'm in a hotel, I get to explore a space and do something I don't get to typically do in a strange space, and that's like kind of live in it for 24 hours or however long. And there's a certain joy to that, but it's not it like you said, it's not rejuvenating. It's trying to offer you almost like a simulacrum of comfort, and it's kind of fun to poke that a little bit and see like, okay, what is this space really about? Who are the people that are really here? And oftentimes it changes day to day just by the nature of the beast, but it's trying to offer you comfort. I think that's like an interesting word to interrogate here, but it ends up in vastly different sides of this of I think what would be considered the same spectrum, but it puts you in this unique mindset, at least for me. I do like staying in hotels. Like what's your impression when your work calls you up and says like, oh hey, we booked you a room in this city, you'll be there for a day or two. Like what's your first reaction to that? Are you excited to explore these spaces, or are you is that something that makes you kind of anxious and maybe just like, oh gosh, now I just gotta sleep on some crisp, papery sheets.
I would say I'm more or less more often than not excited. And I think you brought an interesting word. I don't know, simulacrum is an interesting word of like comfort, I don't know if it's quite a simulacrum of comfort. I think it is comfort, but like it's a different type. It's more transient, and but it knows that. And so like with hotel rooms, it's like giving you a really nice experience, but it's like so nice, at least for me, it's like an experience that's like so nice that I can like already tell this isn't like a everyday type of nice that like your home can provide. That's they look very similar because they're both bedrooms and they have a bed, but to me they're very opposite in like what they feel like in terms of like atmosphere. Like one's more like your home is more cozy, whereas like a hotel room can sometimes be a little bit more on the like the higher end side of things. It's kind of like splurging for a day as opposed to like living frugally for like a month. There's different positive aspects of both, I think, but they're very different. Your statement before was just like the feeling of it, like exploration, like exploring a new space. I think that's really fun, but at like the end of the day, even though I like doing that, it doesn't like rejuvenate. Like I think that's how like I know I am like an introvert because like I like doing all these things and exploring the unknown, but it like doesn't recharge me as just sitting at home in my own bed does.
And I think in the next, or in the second sort of component of that first verse there, Michael Bublé touches on this idea too. Says, maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. I just want to go home. And I think you and I are sort of tapping into it here too, the way that we just talk about like the hotel experience. It's a funny thing to try to peel back the layers of, but it's part of the reason why being in this space, this space provides like a different kind of nourishment, as opposed to the same one that our homes offer. You know, we're seeing these people at the hotel bar, we're seeing these people bumming around the swimming pool, we're seeing these people milling about the halls like we are, but hotels don't necessarily in aren't necessarily designed for us to like interact with other people like inherently. You could argue that like hotel bars and things like that might open up to that opportunity, but really these are businesses that
That's
are
not the
just
norm.
exactly, it's like these are businesses that are just trying to focus on like keeping you happy. If you whether or not you connect with somebody else there is not really important to them, whereas I think our homes, they can be about isolation, but they're also about like reconnecting with people we love. That's something we definitely see in this song. It is the motivator for this character, for Michael Bublé himself, I think we can kind of infer. And like it's an expression of vulnerability too, where we get to invite people into our space and be like, oh, you can kind of see me projected into this entire 3D environment, and I'm not just a person.
Yeah, it's more genuine.
Exactly. So it's, you don't get that necessarily when you're traveling. You don't have that opportunity to sit somebody down and invite them into your space and connect with people. So when Michael Bublé sings about being around a ton of people, as you often are when you're traveling, feeling alone, I think everybody can relate to that. You've traveled a lot in your life and much more than I have. I imagine that's something that you felt throughout your travels because you've traveled solo quite a bit as well.
And that's a good like segue into like the next lines after that, where he starts talking to like I guess his fiance in the song, where he's talking about writing letters. I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one a line or two. I'm fine, baby. How are you? I would send them, but I know that it's just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more than that. That like feeling of sharing, but also feeling that distance ever presence between, people that are closer. It also like reminds me of just how weird like parasocial relationships can be. A little off track, but like Michael Bublé being a famous singer, right? Like being surrounded by a million people, it's not just being in a space of a million people, like, being in a hotel with other people. this part of the song, I feel like, really highlights the fact that, you know, he's a famous singer and he has a bunch of fans and he's standing on stage singing with millions of people just cheering for him, but he doesn't know any of them. Like, to the extent of his, you know, fiance, and he just wants to go back and like build a relationship and get become more deeper and intimate with like the people he does want to be close with, as opposed to all these like screaming fans, which I think is another like interesting thing to like put into this song, like right off the bat. And
I really think it's interesting that you're using the word parasocial, because I think that's something that we feel even more strongly than when the era of when like this song ex first came onto the scene, you know, came out in the early 2000s. So it's
yeah, like 2005, I think.
right. So this was sort of before the era of, you know, YouTubers, influencers. I feel like that's where a lot of people experience that kind of.
Oh, famous people have been around forever, though. It's just
Oh yeah.
where that parasocial relationship like exhibits itself.
Right, but I do think it is a little bit a lot in my personal opinion, a lot bit more present in these online spaces where
Yeah.
we're making the choice to like consume some people's media and they feel a lot more rough and tumble. Like, I mean, we're making a podcast, you know, with my admittedly slapdash together audio setup, and you put a little bit more work into it than I have, but it's like there's an accessibility to that too, where people feel like, oh yeah, I could do that, and they're speaking to me, and they're doing what they can to speak to me, and so they feel like this more immediate connection to them. But I, from what I've heard from some of the YouTubers, other online influencers, the people who have these really intense fandoms, what I hear from them is that sometimes that makes things like all the more disconnected, because sometimes people, yeah, they're just doing this out of their bedrooms, or they're just doing this out of a small studio somewhere, and they don't even have what Michael Bublé has. And it's like, at least he's seeing some people face to face, but even that's not true connection. And
Yeah.
I totally agree. That's a super interesting element to find in this song. I didn't necessarily catch or in make that leap like you did. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's just I think like this song has so many interesting bits just kind of baked underneath the layers. And you know, this parasocial relationship one is just kind of another one of those things. And one thing I like about this song also is how meandering the melody is. Like I said, to me I think of Michael Bublé kind of just writing out postcards to this person, and the lyrics of the song are his like thought process, and it is very kind of like s it's slow, methodical, yet scatterbrained at the same time, because they're like unorganized in a little bit, but he sings them with deliberateness and a tempo that's not super fast, that he's like trying to think about it. That makes me kind of also think along with his situation.
Feels a little
This also,
stream of
oh yeah.
consciousness, and I
Yeah, stream
appreciate
of
that. Yeah.
consciousness.
Yeah, it's like the he's making connections as he literally travels, right? I think the music video helps me a lot with this too, because
Oh,
it
sure.
starts off with him on sort of like a darkened stage, you know, lights are starting to go down, and as he starts singing, like there's like sort of, oh gosh, what would the term be? Like dancers who are dressed up in sort of like big feathery kind of outfits, and they're just off on like the side stage just chit-chatting. And it's like when you realize like this, that Michael Bublé and the character and the feeling that he's inhabiting in the song, it's like, oh, that stuff is starting to all fall away, and that starts to bleed into the song with these lyrics where he's like realizing, yeah, what I'm feeling is legitimate, and the trappings of travel, you know, it leaves me in so many sort of idle little spaces where my mind is just wandering back home to that constant, to that anchor. So yes, I totally agree. It feels like you're following him as he's processing his feeling of loneliness, this feeling of longing, this feeling of feeling grounded somewhere.
Yeah, and like he can meet all the fans he wants, but it doesn't really help with that loneliness because, you know, as much as your fans love you, it's not in the same way, and it doesn't feel the same way. And as I'm talking about this, I kind of find it funny that like just last week I was kind of giving Brandon Flowers a little shit for like, oh, he's a famous person. What does he know about the working man's problems? And on the complete opposite side, I'm like, oh, I too know what it's like to be Michael Bublé and what it's like to be going around and traveling. It's like, oh, I get his problems. Like, even though they're very similar in different ways, but I find it funny how very quickly like I can jump to either side of that like parasocial needle. Oh, I get it. Or like, how can that person get it? You know?
Think what helps with this song, with that feeling, now that you're catching yourself on it, I feel myself doing that too, so that's kind of funny. But I think here, Michael Bublé sort of sings the song as himself. I think we can confidently say that, and really sort of lays it out. Again, those first couple lines are just super efficient for explaining what we're going to tackle in this song. Between me and you, which we discussed during our last episode, Brandon Flowers' solo track, it is a lot. It sort of steps up gently to the plate as opposed to this one. And it lures you in with this idea of, oh, is this Brandon talking, or is this a character? I read it as that being a little bit more of a character. So there's maybe, depending on how you see it, there's a certain vulnerability to each, but you could argue that home here is a little bit more immediate, where it's like, oh, okay, Michael Bublé, the person, is kind of admitting something to us, perhaps here. Again, kind of a parasocial thought, but I think that may be part of what you kind of experienced there, where there was like a little bit more of a pushback on the message of Between Me and You, because it's like, okay, do you or are you really worried about what you're contributing to the world? And then here, Michael Bublé grounds you in his reality right away and sort of asks you to relate to it, as opposed to Brandon Flowers sort of crafting a reality that's similar to ours and saying, "Oh, I feel that too." And it's just like, "Well, do you? Like, we're not sure." So they invite us into similar feelings, but in pretty different, kind of using different, arguably literary techniques, right? Yeah, these are writing techniques, and these guys are playing with it in fun ways.
And then just to move on to what I think is like the third really big important stanzas, in my opinion, of the song is a little bit later. After kind of repeatedly putting down the themes of like, I just want to go home because even though I get to go to all these great places, I just miss, you know, I just miss you. I just want to be with like my lover. He goes into like a short, I think it's like it feels like kind of like a bridge of him kind of expounding on some of these feelings he has but that aren't related to like him feeling lonely, where the lyrics go. And I feel just like I'm living someone else's life. It's like I just stepped outside when everything was going right. And I know just why you could not come along with me, that this was not your dream, but you always believed in me. I think that section probably hits me the hardest because it's like so different to what the rest of the song feels like in terms of its like overarching message, where the rest of the song to me is, like I said, is all about like recognizing the fortunateness of his situation and like the privilege, but still like wanting something else. And then this section here talks about like a little bit more of why he feels that way. And it gives, to me, it gives off both sides of the coin of imposter syndrome and the other side of like, well, no, I think I should be here because I'm like, either I deserve it or I'm good enough for it. So, because like the first half, there's those feelings of the imposter syndrome where he says he feels like he's living in someone else's life and how he kind of just like stepped outside when everything kind of just fell into place without him doing much effort. And then the second half being, you know, this wasn't your dream, but you always believed in me, kind of indicating that, oh, like, you know, this is still kind of like the end goal of him being a singer and traveling the world and singing. And there's also that little like bittersweet element of him finding a partner that understands his dreams, but at the same time is in like a different world than him. And he kind of expresses this through the lyrics of how that's why I know you couldn't come along with me. It kind of tears me up a little bit, just like the characters of the song and how like you see how he has the millions of fans that occupy the same space as him, but the person that he finds the most connection with is someone that doesn't occupy that space and not isn't allowed to come along, but like that's just not where they naturally fall into. I was curious like what you think of that one, these lines specifically as well, just because for me they had so much like meaning baked inside them with like even just in every word.
Absolutely. I think what I really appreciate about these lines is that kind of belief that we feel across distance is oftentimes how we stay connected to a lot of people, even when they fall out of sort of our life path, right? Like I think about my grandmothers who are still very fortunately like living on their own and just the sweetest people. They don't really have an interest in my path in life, that being, you know, I want to write right now. I'm really focused on like writing horror fiction. I would be terrified by the idea of my grandmother's reading some of the stuff that I'm writing there. And goodness knows that that's not their genre of choice. I've even taken some different paths from them in terms of my religion, in terms of where I've lived in the past. I'm fortunate enough to be closer to them now. But at the end of the day, a lot of that stuff didn't really matter too much to our connection. It was really about the fact that I've always felt really supported by them. You know, my my grandmothers are, when I wrote for the local newspaper, they would be some of the first people to comment on it and say that they enjoyed my weekly column, things like that. And it's not necessarily about the content. It's not about the trappings. It's not about the fact that they're on the same path as me. You know, they've lived their life and they've made their choices, but it's the fact that they have this support that reaches across time and space and those paths that we've taken. So I think about that sort of connection that I have with people. It's like those who are still in my life and who I still want to keep in my life, but we're not overlapping in the same ways that we used to. I think that's a really powerful sentiment and one that reminds me to stay connected to those people, even though it's like, yeah, I can't go to my grandmother's and talk about a show that I just watched because God knows that they're not watching it, or talk about a video game that I played that really inspired me because they're not gamers, as funny as that would be. It's about us just supporting each other and realizing we're independent people. We have our own visions for, we have our own callings, I think is maybe even a more appropriate term. And it's, there's a way to see their journey and for them to see my journey and for us to still stay supported, even though we're in like this weird hall of mirrors and we might not actually be in the same room, but we can see each other kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that it reminds me of. And you could even relate it to more immediate partnerships too. Like my wife and I do have a lot of interests in common, but at the same time, you know, I've got a lot of goals that aren't necessarily an interest of her and hers and likewise. So, but it's about seeing each other as those fully formed individuals and realizing that there's a way to be outside somebody's dreams but support it. I don't know. I'm playing around with the metaphor here, but that's really what this particular stanza reminds me of is how we support each other across not just time and space, but those different paths.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting way to put it, that I haven't considered how, like, people have their, I guess, own callings in life. And even though, they're not necessarily together most of the time, it doesn't prevent people from, like, making connections.
Exactly. Yeah. And the song celebrates that in a cool way. And even though there's a melancholy undertone to it all, like even the next stanza refers to time passing, saying another winter day, as opposed to a lot of this language so far being about the sun, summery kind of feeling, being in Paris and Rome during those really like bright vacation-y kind of days, those things that we kind of picture. And
Michael Bublé has been in Europe for a whole year. Someone get this man back to Canada.
this is a hell of a tour, man. It's
Yeah.
got to keep the people happy. And even though there is that undercurrent of melancholy to it, I think ultimately there is a real positivity to this song. And even though the reality of it, I don't think ultimately Michael Bublé ended up with this particular person who the song was written to, which is probably a whole other conversation. But at the time, this was his connection, this was his home. And I think the song, you talked a lot up top about like the positivity of this genre. I think this song does have a positive message, and like it almost grants people the space to feel this loneliness when they're traveling, or battle a little bit more with their gratitude or lack of it when they have great opportunities, but are just like, man, it would just be nice to be at home on the couch with my partner, just like eating chips or something, just something very basic, because we all crave that and we all want that environment. We all want people in our lives who we can rely on in that to that degree. I think that's what the song invites us to do, as opposed to saying like, oh yeah, you should be grateful that whenever you have a cool opportunity like this, or saying, oh yeah, when you're out and traveling the world, that doesn't actually matter. It's about the people at home. It's like it kind of leaves space for both and just allows you to feel along with Michael Bublé, which I think is the kind of credit people should be giving to him, because he's this is a great song. This is a very sweet song. And there's, as you've been saying, you go through each line, you're like, wait, oh geez, there's a lot of layers here, and this isn't just some pastiche of the Rat Pack. This is some real thing he's feeling, and he invites us to feel it too.
I mean, even in the lyrics, in the middle of the song, he talks about like another aeroplane, another sunny place, and then immediately like to kind of like reiterate how it feels like he's just kind of writing a postcard and like having a conversation of stream of consciousness as he's like writing this out. He r writes another sunny place. Yeah, I'm lucky, I know, but I want to go home. Like he even recognizes it in the song, or like he has that line to like acknowledge kind of like his position. But it makes it also like, I guess to me, a little like more humorous, because it's not just writing out all the great things that he's been able to do and travel, but also like acknowledges, and he acknowledges that he's lucky, but it's not, ultimately not what he is like craving for. And I think it just does a good job, the song does like a good job of just like weaving in and out like the feeling of like the sacrifices, I guess, that he's made, been making for like his success of being a singer, and kind of like just opining about how now that he's kind of made it to this point where he's like a great singer, all the good stuff that's happened, but then all the other stuff that like it's not necessarily like deprived him of, but like it's definitely like a give and take, right? Where it's like, I gotta go to Europe and do a concert, but it means I can't be with you, and like vice versa.
Yeah, I think that that's like the lesson of this song that I really took away. Something that I wrote after listening to the song a few times, like really listening, just trying to inhabit that same space, was life is a balance between time spent in comfort and time spent untethered. And I think that's
Ooh.
something that I really struggle with because if I get a too much of either one, I notice me myself kind of losing myself. It sound a little bit redundant, but if I'm at home too much, I get a little defensive and I get a little bit antsy. But I do still feel some of those feelings too when I'm out traveling too much. Like I had mentioned, the restlessness I feel in a hotel room or the anxiety of just not having a place that I can sit down, call my own, craft to my own levels of comfort. It's always a balance. And I think that even that explaining the message of the song in that way for me helped me take it beyond travel to like this character, Michael Bublé, really is enjoying the risk that he's taking and being fulfilled by the risk that he's taking pursuing his dream, but also suffering under the weight of being away from people that he loves. And I think at the end of the day, that could be applied to so many different facets of life. Like you have to take these risks, but it's going to peel you away from your comfort zone. So how do we handle that? I think most people should be asking themselves that every day when they do something that's a little uncomfortable or when they find themselves drawn back to those spaces that they feel confident in. And it's like, how do I keep this balance and how do I keep moving forward and yet give my time and my love back to these core people? It's a tough balance to strike. It's something that I'm continuing to work on. But
You're telling me.
this song reminds me that even with world famous singers are it's something that we're all gonna try to land on, try to figure out, and it's something we probably won't ever land on a perfect balance, but it's about trying to achieve that every day, sometimes leaning a little bit more one direction than the other, right?
I guess speaking of like home in general now, like what's the longest you've ever spent away from home?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. I hate to admit it, but I think it might have been honestly like summer camp when I was a kid. Like literally spending a week and a half, 2 weeks in a cabin somewhere and hanging out with kids singing Kumbaya. Like it was a very stereotypical kind of like summer camp experience, but I think that was the longest like successive time away. All of my other trips since that age have really been a lot smaller, a lot more focused on whether it's work or school or little brief vacations that I can afford, let's be honest. It's only been like a week or two at a time. I really feel like I am missing that in my life. I'm seeking out those opportunities to hopefully someday travel internationally, which I haven't had the opportunity to do yet. So I think in that way, my balance is maybe a little bit more towards my comfort zone, and I find different ways to take risks in life, mostly creatively. And but I do want to expose myself to those environments where I don't necessarily feel at home. I might feel a little bit more anonymous. I might even really want to feel home, but might need to dial things in and understand the unique opportunity of being somewhere else. So, yeah, I honestly think it was just a couple days. Oh, well, not a couple days, but like I said, about a week and a half, 2 weeks for summer camp, being totally unmoored. But as I said earlier in this episode, you've done quite a bit of solo traveling. One of your greatest joys in life was your undergraduate studying abroad. So where are you in that balance? Do you feel the pull to be somewhere else, or are you finding more comfort at home? Where are you at with trying that balancing act out?
Yeah, I mean, you asked a really like poignant question where I think my experiences of being able to travel to as many places as I have has given me a lot of like experience and like perspective. And it actually kind of like brings me to like a question that I was going to ask you, but I can talk about it a little bit first of like where home really feels for you. Because, you know, as far as I'm aware, you've primarily just lived, quote unquote, in Wisconsin, correct?
Yep. Anywhere that I've called a
Yeah.
permanent residence has been in Wisconsin.
So, like, and I've had the opportunity to, even though, like, we grew up in the same town in Wisconsin, but I've lived in a lot of different cities since ever, well, yeah, I've lived in a lot of different places ever since I left high school for like college, and I've lived in, you know, like California and Massachusetts in terms of the US. I've mentioned briefly that I've studied abroad in Japan where I get to live there for a year. But even in addition to that, growing up, my parents would take me and my brother to Hong Kong for about a month at a time as kids during the summer to like spend time with our grandparents. And even though it was only like a month, that's still quite a, you know, a long time, and you know, longer than, you know, your sleepaway camp for a couple of weeks. And so for me, it's always been interesting with for that type of question of like home, because of how transient my experiences have been. It's been always hard to think of a physical location as home. To also like put in perspective, since like leaving high school at like 17, I moved like almost every year of my life. And only now have I recently lived in a place for longer than 3 years. And it's not even by that much. Like 3 years and like a couple months is the current counter right now. Whereas like since like 2010, I think I've moved from two, I think it was from 2010 to 2025. So those 15 years, I'm pretty sure I moved like 11 to 12 times, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, you and I have remained connected across those years, and I'm still here thinking like there's no way he's moved that frequently. But like now that I'm thinking about it, when you've talked about some of these new opportunities you've chased over time, and it's like, wait, yeah, shoot, he was in California for a long time. Oh yeah, and then Boston for the longest. And like it is kind of funny when you quantify it like that. And yeah, it's so home for you. That's something you've been kind of chasing or just like haven't quite found yet. How do you feel about it?
It's something that I think about quite a bit because I feel like I don't know how to adequately shape it. Like I said, it's been hard for me to think of like a physical spot as home because of all the places I've lived, they've been in such short time durations that does it is it actually like home when it's like almost it's been almost just as long as like a really long vacation. And so I think some people would probably have similar viewpoints, but for me, I think home is less about the place and more about people in your life, which is again why I think this song has had such an impact for me, because when you're listening to this song, Michael Bublé is singing to a specific person, and this person is in a location that you could think of as home, but you could also kind of think of that person as his home as like a tether to return to. And I've personally always felt conflicted on whether or not I have even a decent answer to what is home for me. Since, you know, like I don't, you know, have a wife or anything. I'm currently single. So I like don't have anybody really on that tier. I think for me, like the most strong like tether I have to the concept of home are my parents, which in turn would be, you know, would be Marathon, Wisconsin. And I think when I have conversations with people, whenever I go back and visit them, I'll still say kind of going home, like I'm going home to Marathon for a while.
It's a hard habit to break.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people, I mean, that's natural, I think, for a lot of people to kind of say where you kind of grew up as home, like as a home, like not necessarily the home.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I don't know, like if I have any other people, place, or thing that has as strong of a feeling of home as my parents. Because like even right now where I'm living right now, it's the longest place I've lived in since high school at, you know, like I said, just a little over 3 years. And like I know like this is, for all intents and purposes, my home. Like this is where I sleep for the most part, from my day-to-day and my current situation. But part of me also has like the thought of like, well, it's also just like an apartment that I don't know if I'm gonna, for how much longer I'm gonna be here. I think for me personally, I've always had a very transient feeling of where I am at any given time. Which is again another reason why I really like this song, because Michael Bublé does a good job of really like painting a picture of what home is to him. And it's something that I feel like I've always struggled with in trying to pinpoint a place or, you know, thing or people that I would equate with the same intensity as him.
Yeah, that's always an interesting way to connect to a song too, is kind of feeling like, oh, I know this yearning, but I might not be feeling it the exact same way that you are. That's, no, I appreciate you sharing that. But I really do think that you're on to actually a very similar answer that I have too. And it really is about the people. It's not about the physical space. And it's something that I've struggled with a little bit over the past 10 years, especially. I really enjoyed growing up in Marathon. I was really latched onto my community, my church, my parents, especially. I adore them so much, and they were a big part of my identity, and a lot of what I did was to make them happy. And I don't want to confuse people though either. It wasn't like my parents put pressure on me. It's just like I had this impression that they wanted something specific out of me. So I worked really, really hard in school and did certain things and followed certain paths. And I'm glad to a degree because it got me pretty far in life. But then when I went to school in Milwaukee, a lot of that started to fall away very quickly. You know, distance does that sort of thing to people where you don't get that immediate feedback. But you do have, like I said earlier, that sort of support and belief across distance. And it really gave me the space to ask myself what I really want. You know, what's my equivalent of the dream that Michael Bublé really talks about in this song when he's talking about pursuing being a performer? And I still struggle with that sometimes, trying to figure out really what my ultimate calling is. But mm-hmm. I found a lot of what some people would consider home in Milwaukee, including finding my wife, who now has moved back up to Marathon County here with me. And so now home is back in Marathon County, but a little left of, or I guess in this case, east of center. I now live east of Marathon, about half hour away, give or take, and I don't feel the drawback to Marathon as my home. The county as a whole has a similar vibe. I'm in part of the larger Wausau community, and that's certainly something special. Do I consider Wausau my home, though? Or not necessarily. It's because Kate, my wife, is really here because she's really the embodiment of that support beyond location. No matter where we are, I know I can count on her and go back to her after a good or a bad day. And it's hokey to a degree to say like home is wherever she is, but it's true. So that's really ultimately my answer. And I felt at home with her in Milwaukee once we started living together. I feel at home with her when we're driving up north where we love to visit and vacation. As long as she's there, like she's that constant. She's that place where I can like literally, you just can lay your head at night and be like, oh, she'll be there in the morning. And it's really what people are talking about when they're talking about home, right? You think about that space where you feel comfortable when you finally drift off to sleep. You feel comfortable when you wake up, and that's what people are looking for in a home, like in a physical space. And we end up finding it in people. So I apologize, getting a little bit mushy there, but that's really my answer. I even traveled back to Milwaukee recently for a quick visit, and some of the markers are there, right? It's like, oh yeah, I remember this place. I remember how great of a meal I had there. Oh, I remember hanging out in this park and seeing this band perform here or whatever. Or I remember driving down this street really late at night when I had a really crappy day and seeing that half blown out neon liquor store sign brought me a weird amount of comfort, and they still haven't fixed it. This is a legit thing that I noticed this weekend. But it was like, oh, it was because I knew I had people here. I knew I had somebody I could count on, sort of bring me comfort at the end of the day that made this feel like home. I'm kind of just seeing the relics of it now. But that's a different way to stay connected to people too, is just through that memory. It's a complicated thing.
Oh,
I
no, yeah.
appreciate that the song again invites us into that space to consider where is home, who is home, and what makes those spaces and those people special.
Yeah. I think like nostalgia plays a really big part of that for me as well. Not necessarily like what home is, but I think like I have those feelings too. Like when I'm like back in Boston or the Bay Area, whether it be for work or more like personal like vacations and travelings, like I'll just like end up going to places that I've been to before and kind of having those same thoughts. I will say though, like like I have those feelings of like, oh, I remember, going to this restaurant on like a tough day, or like I remember going to this food cart every day after class. But for me, like I think because I have had such different place, or I guess because I've had so many places that I could technically call home, it doesn't feel quite as like a home to me as I feel like Milwaukee might feel to you because you've kind of lived there for a longer period of time. Whereas I feel like if you compare the two of us, I'm more of like that lone drifter that kind of just comes in for a short amount of time and then moves on. And while I don't treat my travel as like I'm only going to be here for a short amount of time, the fact that I still am kind of makes it hard for me to really have as strong of a connection, in at least in terms of calling something home. Like I still have all those like strong connections of the places I'm very familiar with, but it doesn't usually have that connotation of it being a home as it I feel like it might have with you, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, and there's benefits to both too, right?
Yeah. I think there's like, yeah, some give and take and some sacrifices that, you know, we both have had the pleasure of like seeing for ourselves. Me on one side of a coin, you on another.
Mm-hmm. But I think that kind of leads me to my next question too, and it might be a good way to kind of tie up this conversation too. And it's, how have you followed that calling to travel, to shift around a little bit more, like a lot bit more? As I mentioned earlier, it's like about that balance. And I do feel like maybe I've, at least in terms of travel and being in new environments, I've struggled with maintaining my comfort zone a little bit more. So throughout all the different places that you've lived and the travels that you've gone on, sure, some were when you were younger, it was about visiting family or traveling with your parents. But how did you find that calling to travel? How did you respond to it? And what would be your advice to somebody who is like struggling to listen to that voice to like go out somewhere and be uncomfortable or to try something new in a physical space?
Oh, that is a good question. I struggle to think of something with such like deference because, or not deference, but when you ask me the question, like my first gut reaction and gut answer to your question of like, how do you kind of put yourself out there and like explore new spaces is that like, for me, part of it is because like I haven't found my home yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just right around the corner of a place I haven't been to yet, where I'll get there and like learn about it and like kind of feel the vibes, and maybe that might click and become like the place where I think this could be a home for me. We had kind of talked about before, I have had the opportunity to travel to so many places and seen so many things that I think I've also been able to see how like nowhere is perfect. There's a lot of cool things I like about places I've been to, and a lot of things that I think could use improvement in all the places I've been to. And so my plague of choice has given me these like feelings of like trying to find the perfect place to like call home. And because I haven't found that yet, I think that helps push me to continue exploring new places. But to try and find a way to like spin it for someone like you who has been able to have like a nice tether to, you know, a home because of like the time you spent there, I guess I would say that it's new places aren't as foreign as they might appear to be. I think on a human element, at the end of the day, even through different cultures, there is some thread of shared humanity that I've been able to see that kind of transcends that. And honestly, once you kind of find that thread, it makes it, one, easier to experience all these new things culturally, but it also helps quickly like create connections and see that a lot of these differences kind of come from different expressions of similar feelings.
That's really nicely said. Yeah, I've never necessarily given thought to that, but it's something I think I've always felt. You know, it's like even when I travel as little as I do, yeah, it's you see that familiarity in kind of everywhere, but to really rely on that when I travel, I haven't necessarily, or to really chase that feeling when I travel. I haven't necessarily done. So I appreciate that. That's definitely something I'm going to think about a little bit more thoroughly here as I do a little bit more traveling here towards the end of my
and
summer.
Honestly, like when you go to new countries with new cultures, if you're like just a halfway decent person, that gets you so far compared to like the like stereotypical American tourists that feel like they're kind of just stomping all over the place.
Right. Yeah. And I know you and I have talked about this before. You know, you've visited Japan how many times now?
If you take away the year that I've lived there, I've been back once, twice, three or four more times. But like obviously for a much shorter period of time.
Sure. But even so, the way that you talk about your experiences there, that's one strong call I have felt to travel is when you bring back stories of your travels in Japan, I'm like, oh, I want to have that too. And you and I have even talked about traveling there together. So I certainly do hope we get to do that someday.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And I will say, from my last trip to Japan, this actually is kind of related, where my last trip to Japan actually reminded me how much beauty there was even just in my local area of, I guess, like where my current home of like Wisconsin. I remember the last few days of my trip, I did a lot of hiking in nature, and it made me realize that like even though where I was at was really beautiful, there's a lot of this similar beauty kind of just outside my just around my block at home. And it's actually inspired me to kind of just do a little more exploring just in my own backyard, which has been really fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think those are the best kind of travels, is when you can bring something back to, whether or not it's like your permanent home or not, or your emotional home or not, to bring back something back to where you are and maybe make it a little bit more homey. That's not necessarily something that's touched on in this song, but just something that I'm going to think a little bit more closely about when considering the balance between the comfort and discomfort of life. It's like, it's about going out, taking those risks, bringing something back, learning in a safe space, and then becoming stronger to take that next step to go out into the world, whether that's physically, emotionally, spiritually, if you want to get in that realm even. I like that sort of feedback loop that you seem to experience during your last trip. And that's something, again, not something I necessarily consciously think about during my travels or during the other risks I take in life, but it's something that's definitely there and something that keeps you moving forward.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think that's actually a pretty good spot to close it out for this week. Hope you guys out there had fun listening to us and maybe got you thinking about what home means to you. As always, if you ever want to drop a message or comment, feel free to email us at marathonmixtapespodcast@gmail.com. I guess until the next track, hope to see you then.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Jordan, for the good talks, as always. Always excited to have these conversations about these songs. The conversations never go where I think they're going to go, and that's what makes it exciting.
I feel the same way. Thanks, Dayton. See you next time.
Thanks, Jordan.